On this episode of the Edge podcast, I interview Sarah Shunk, senior writer and strategist at ClearEdge Marketing, on the repeal of net neutrality. Sarah explains what net neutrality is, why net neutrality was repealed, what small businesses have to think about now that the internet is not an equal playing field, if SEO still matters, and so much more. I hope you enjoy this episode and find it informative. Hi, everyone. It's Emily Tatum. Thank you for tuning in to the Edge podcast. Today, I have with me someone who is incredibly tuned in with the staffing industry, the technology industry, and truly the best writer I know. No joke, she wrote a brand voice strategy this past quarter that literally brought a CEO of the company to tears. Please welcome Sarah Shunk, senior writer and strategist at Clear Edge Marketing. Sarah,
wow,
thanks for coming on.
What an introduction. I appreciate that.
I appreciate you coming on. So something happened yesterday that's going to change the digital landscape, especially for businesses who rely on connecting with their audience through the internet.
Yep.
The Federal Communications Commission voted to repeal net neutrality. So, as I mentioned, you are super in tune with the tech and digital world and very knowledgeable on what's going on with net neutrality. So could you please explain what is net neutrality?
I will do my very best. There's a lot been happening, going on, right?
Yep.
So trying to keep up is tough. But let's start with net neutrality, right? And what is it when people say those words? It's not something everybody's been familiar with, but now it's filling up our inboxes and it's across the news pages. So we'll start there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think of net neutrality, it's kind of a guiding principle that we've accepted for a long time, kind of the right of individuals, people to communicate freely online on the internet.
Right.
It means that we have an internet that enables and protects free and open and uncensored communication. So ISPs, that's internet service providers, they provide us with open networks and they don't block or discriminate against legal apps or content that ride over those networks. Just like a phone company shouldn't decide who you call and what you say on that call, it's the same thing with your ISP. Up until now, net neutrality has said that ISPs shouldn't interfere with the content that you view or post online. So
right.
It's kind of a term that has been developed. It's a recent term, really, and it's used to describe kind of the open internet, how we've come to know, you know, how someone like you, a millennial, grew up with this open internet. It's those are the words we use to describe it.
Right, exactly. So we're talking about internet service providers for your home, for businesses, and how they regulate your internet. So net neutrality was repealed yesterday.
Correct.
Why was it repealed? What does this mean?
Right. So it's the Federal Communications Commission, the FCC, which is a board of five commissioners. And just like in 2015, the FCC adopted these net neutrality rules yesterday. A new administration means a new person is in charge of the FCC, and they decided to go ahead and repeal those rules. I can explain a little bit about those rules if you think it might be helpful to the audience, Emily. Okay.
Of course.
So in February of 2015, those rules that when the FCC adopted net neutrality, it reclassified broadband providers as common carriers. So that's kind of like calling them a utility, right?
Yeah.
They opted to regulate broadband service providers as utilities. So the internet becomes the digital equivalent of electricity and the telephone. And it also gave the FCC the authority it needed to ensure that broadband providers, ones that we know, you know, the people that you pay to regulate your internet at home, or like you said, at your office, they couldn't block, throttle, or otherwise interfere with web traffic. Everybody had access to the same traffic, no matter who you are, where you are, and through your service provider. So yesterday's vote means that those 2015 rules have ended and that ISPs no longer have to operate as common carriers or utilities. And so to us, that means that they now have the ability to throttle, change web traffic, block. These are all kind of new things. We're in new territory now with the net neutrality rules changing.
Okay. So basically now Comcast, other internet service providers, they get to influence how our internet operates, right? Or block, slow down any websites and apps. Is that correct?
That's correct. It's hard to say exactly how it's going to play out. These are new rules and they haven't gone into effect yet. Government moves slowly, so the change won't happen fast because the rules still have to come into effect, come into law. But, of course, I think the big fear is that we're going to have a pay-to-play two-lane scenario.
Right. Yeah.
And I saw this written up in the New York Times today by columnist Steve Lohn, and I loved how he described the scenario because, to me, sometimes a visual description of how it works is helpful. But he described it as the internet could have two distinct pay-to-play tiers. So one tier has really fast, speedy service, and then the other tier doesn't. So who belongs in that high-speed, fast lane? Who would be able to be in that lane would be big internet and media companies and affluent, rich households that can afford to pay to play. And then who's in the slow lane? Of course, people who aren't rich. Startups, companies that don't have those kinds of funds that can really access the fast speed, public schools, public libraries, small companies. That's the real fear, is that we have this two-lane system where one group has access to the fast content and the other system. You know, we're back in the old days of slow loading pages and a time when the internet didn't move as fast as we expected it to.
Right. So that's a really big deal for small businesses and startups, because how are they supposed to compete with these larger organizations? I mean, to put it into perspective, I read a stat online that 99.7% of all businesses have fewer than 500 employees. And of that statistic, nearly 80% are just one person or a handful of people operated organizations. So that's so much of the U.S. economic market that's really going to be affected by this. I mean, especially as e-commerce is just huge, people selling things online, and I feel like we're really going to see a change with basically the business market being able to try to compete through the repeal of net neutrality.
Exactly. When you think about some of the companies that were born ahead of all of this, that things like YouTube that started out as a very small innovative company born on the internet, but because they had access to all consumers, that they were able to be, you know, come up and become the huge conglomerate that they are today. What happens to those small startups today if they can't have equal access to the broad base that we've come to know? It's the big question. You know, a lot of people that are for this, the end of this regulation, believe that it will create more innovation, that this is an opportunity for the internet service providers to offer more innovation. On the other side, people fear that small, young startups that can't afford access to consumers will no longer be able to make these big leaps. And what happens to innovation and disruption in this new age where there is a pay-to-play system? So these are the questions that we have to consider as marketers and then, of course, as the small businesses that we support.
Right, exactly. So one of the great things about the internet is obviously being able to access content and being able to produce content that other people can see just by searching through keywords and things of that nature. With the repeal of net neutrality, does SEO still matter? What's happening with that?
It definitely still matters. It's definitely something we need to focus on. There are, you know, with this change, now ISPs do have the ability, and will they use it or not is, of course, the question, to block content should they want to. That would be very controversial, right? Now people are very aware of these changes. It's out in the media. We're all talking about it. So if they started to block or censor content, what people can access, I think that people are going to be watching very carefully, especially in the near term. We need to think about the idea of keeping up with our SEO, making sure we're doing best practices, but also following what's happening and how people are getting access to sites and access to their rankings. This is something we're going to have to watch for sure. And it's something that people are concerned about. There are even organizations that are looking to move into the court system now that it's moved past the FCC and saying we want to ensure an open internet. So right now, SEO still matters a lot. It's still something we should be focusing on. Google's right. Not going anywhere. But we will have to watch. Will this pay-to-play system mean that you're going to be paying for certain rankings and therefore consumers are going to be able to pay to access maybe the top rankings, but to access the second tier, will they have to pay more and therefore maybe you can't access as many consumers? We really have to watch how this plays out, and ClearEdge will be watching very carefully.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I'll be watching too is how slow for especially our clients, their websites become and things of that nature, because I mean, it's so crazy. I've been obviously researching this, and if an individual comes to a website, especially mobile, obviously we consume so much content on mobile. Mobile's just huge. And right. If they're on it for 3 seconds and there's a 3 second lag time in a load, over 50% of people will then leave that page. So
are you one of those people? Do you find yourself? I'm totally one of those people. I do not wait. I say, I can find it somewhere else, right?
Right. So, yeah. I mean, I think that that's something that we'll pay particular attention to. So do you think that for smaller companies, is basically dishing out cash the only way that they'll be able to compete with the repeal of net neutrality?
I think we have to see. We really have to see with this new power that ISPs have been given, how they choose to use it. Because it would be very bad for any brand, and especially when you come out of, you know, people that provide, you know, it's a lot from the cable industry, which has a terrible reputation for service and consumer challenges, right? It would be terrible for them to come out as behemoths who are crushing innovation and charging people terrible rates for things they've never accessed before. So you really hope the best of all scenarios happen, and that companies are really focused on innovating and not hurting consumers and startup companies. But we have to watch what's happening. And it's a curious time.
It is a curious time. And the other day, I thought it was super interesting, right before the day before the repeal of net neutrality, organizations like Reddit, Etsy, and Kickstarter, they broke the internet protesting net neutrality. Yep. But some of the tech powerhouses like Google and Facebook, they didn't. They were silent. They were just quiet. Nothing came of their mouths about net neutrality. Why did this happen? Why wasn't Facebook or Google saying anything?
Well, they do belong to, you know, I forget the name of an organization that is considering actually going to court to fight these changes. Oh. So they have issued their support for the for net neutrality. Absolutely. And the fact is they are big media conglomerates now, so they could pay for faster lanes.
Right.
But them not having broader access to all consumers is also a problem for them. And they were companies that were born in an open internet period in time, and I think they very much believe in it. So while they were quieter than some of the smaller companies that have more to lose, they do I think across the boards, and I can't be certain on that, but I'm pretty sure that I know that Sheryl Sandberg, and I know she's not exactly Facebook anymore, but she came out strongly against it. Lots of the executives across the industry. The tech industry as a whole is for net neutrality because, you know, the internet is who the tech industry is today.
Right.
So
right.
As an industry, the tech industry, it's hard to find a tech company that's not for net neutrality today.
Right, and a lot of those organizations started out of a garage where
they
rely on net neutrality to build their massive powerhouse that they are today. But the fact of the reality is, too, that they could pay for the premium.
They could eke it out in a world like that for sure. But do they want a world like that? You know, I think as innovators and even grandfather innovators, they want to see a world where sparks can rise up to the top. So,
exactly.
And as we do as ClearEdge too, we love supporting, you know, we get to work with startups and big companies, and it's very inspiring to work with small growing companies and see how the internet has fueled growth for our clients and their marketing efforts.
For sure. We rely on it.
Yeah.
So when can we expect the repeal to go in effect?
I'm reading that it's going to take a couple of months. That sounds about right when you think of how long it takes for government to move and with the holidays and everything. So I think January is when we're going to start seeing some major shifts in this, but we'll keep you updated.
Yes, we will. We certainly will. Sarah, thank you so much for coming on The Edge today. I'm sure I'll have you back on so that we can talk about it once things do start shifting and how we can help people navigate the internet now that net neutrality has repealed. So we will have you back on. In the meantime, how can people get in touch with you?
Oh, you know, best way is always through my email. Sarah's a writer. She loves her email, and I'm old school Gen Xer. So it's sshunk@clearedgemarketing.com. Emily, thanks for having me. It's always fun to talk to you. But this is
always
an issue we're passionate about. So I love to talk to you about that.
Thank you so much, Sarah. I really appreciate it.
No problem.
Thanks for listening to this week's The Edge episode. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate and subscribe to the podcast in iTunes. And you can also email me at etatum@clearedgemarketing.com. And let me know if you have any questions or if you want to hear about anything in particular as it relates to our Women in Staffing series or our marketing episodes. So just shoot me an email and I look forward to connecting with you. Thank you.